I want us to open our Bibles this evening. Could I just mention there's a CD and DVD table down there at the back, and there's bargains on it. There's also the new CD that has been brought out, the new CD. It is the love of God, and we thank God for God's love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So they're back there on the table. Let's open our Bibles, please, in the book of Isaiah, and it is chapter 55, the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible and God's precious word in Isaiah chapter 55. And we'll commence to read there at the verse number 1 of this passage of God's infallible truth. Isaiah chapter 55 and the verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy precious word. We thank thee that thy word is truth, that thy word is forever settled in heaven. We thank thee that though heaven and earth may pass away, that thy word shall never pass away. And thou hast said that my word shall not return unto me void. And so to this end, O God, I trust thee now for power, for thy power, it shall not fail. Hallelujah. For the words that that this night shall give me shall and must prevail. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. And for his glory, amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53 brings us to the cross. And there the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, shed his precious blood to take away our sin. And it's on the basis of the cross work of Jesus Christ that we come to this 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah that I want us to look at this evening for a few moments, or some verses that are found therein. Now, the opening of this chapter is an invitation. It says there in verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy wine, or buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And so therefore this invitation to come. Over and over again it's mentioned, come ye to the waters, and come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It is the language of infinite mercy, because instead of driving us from him, thank God the cross work of Jesus Christ draws us to him. And there is a wonderful invitation for men and women in this book to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says, come everyone that thirsteth. Thank God, no matter who you are tonight, no matter where you come from, thank God there's this invitation. Come, everyone that thirsteth. If you feel the need tonight, because you've got to feel the thirst. And if you're thirsty tonight, you've been drinking at the waters and the wines of this world. And thank God they've never satisfied you. But you come thirsty and you're acknowledging your thirst. But praise God, the invitation is come, come. And it says come to the waters. Come to the waters. Thank God to know the Lord Jesus said. He said, he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. You remember the Lord Jesus said to that woman of Samaria, he said, those that drink of this water that you're drawing from, my, they'll thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I'll give him, thank God, when he takes a draught of that water, he'll never thirst again. You know what the woman said? She said, give me that water. Give me that water. Will you ask the Lord tonight to give you that water? That living water? It says, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, it says, come ye buy and eat, ye come buy wine and milk. Now the water speaks of life eternal. The wine speaks of joy. Thank God whenever you're saved, friend. Thank God he gives you a joy. He gives you a joy that the world could never give. He gives you a joy the world will never be able to destroy or take away. For thank God, if you want joy, the wee chorus the children sing, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And so thank God there's the wines of joy. And then there's the milk of sustenance, the milk of satisfaction. And you get it in coming to Jesus. Thank God it says without money. You don't have to buy it. Thank God this is freely offered in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come ye, come. In other words, I'm ready to give it to you if you'll only come and take it. And that's what God wants his people to do tonight, to come to the waters without money and without price. Now, having given that gracious invitation, I want us to come to a glorious instruction. Because if we look at down to verses number 6 and 7, and that's where we want to dwell tonight, it says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's three things I want you to notice tonight in those two verses, and I trust the Spirit of God will write them upon your heart. First of all, there's the acknowledged repentance that's mentioned here. In verse number 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. There is the acknowledged repentance. We'll come to that in a moment. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord. And then secondly, there's in this verse of God's word, there's the assured reconciliation, because notice what it says, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's the assured reconciliation. But then if you go back to verse number 6, there is the appointed restraint. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. It says, call ye upon him while he is near. And there's the appointed restraint that the Lord is not always standing there. And that salvation is not always offered to men and women. That God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And so tonight I want to just simply divide these two verses. Go into verse number 7 first of all, because this is important. Because, my friend, in this passage of God's word, we have got God's great plan of salvation for men and women. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And here we have the acknowledged repentance. The Lord's talking about sin, and the Lord's talking about salvation. Now, verse number 6, we're instructed to seek and we're instructed to call. But to do that, for to seek the Lord and to call upon the Lord, we must do it in accordance with God's commandment that's involved here. And it involves repentance. Now, you don't often hear preachers talking about that anymore. Repentance. You know, there's an easy believism that's going about today. And they say to you, listen, all you've got to do is just say, I'm a sinner. And Lord Jesus, you're the sinner. And you know, that's it. God forgives you and that's it. And you can go out and live whatever way you like. You can live like a devil after that because you're all right. It's settled and you've got eternal life and you're going to heaven. Friend, let me tell you, that's not true. It is true that when God saves a sinner, he saves him for all eternity. That's when there is a genuine work of grace in the person's heart. But for God's salvation to happen, friend, there has to be a repentance of sin. And friend, when we come to God's way of salvation, there is something that is so important that men and women have got to repent. What Jesus said was this, except ye repent, you'll perish. Who said that? Jesus. Except you repent, you'll perish. And so, friend, it is so important for us to realize, what does it mean for us to repent of our sin? What is God saying to a man? If he's going to be saved, he's got to repent of his sin. And so God directs a sinner. And he tells him he's got to abandon his wicked way. He's got to turn from his unrighteous thoughts and turn unto the Lord. You see, friend, it's so important to get this straight. Because there are men and women, I believe, that are living under a false profession, that have never known God's salvation. And yet they're contenting themselves because of a wee profession they made some time or other in their lives that's just it all right. But they've never repented of their sin. Jesus says, if you don't repent, you perish. You perish. So we're talking about serious business here, because if a man does not repent of a sin, he'll go to hell with a sin. He'll go to the darkest, deepest pit of hell. And there's no way back. So I've got to know what this means. I've got to get what God's saying here. Now, I want you to notice what God says. Look at verse 8, just as a wee statement here. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And he says, my ways are not your ways. Now, what's God saying there, friend? What God's saying is this. The way that you think about your sin is not the way that I think about your sin. That's what God's saying. The way that I say is of salvation is not what man thinks is the way of salvation. You see, man has got multitudes of ways of salvation. Men and women think there's many ways to get to heaven. If you were asking someone, how are you going to get to heaven? Well, you know, I try the best I can. Or I go to church. Or I say my prayers. Or I have been baptized. Or I have been catechized. Or I have been confirmed. And friend, that's what they're relying upon them to get to heaven. But I want to tell you, you read that book, it's not there. It's not there. But you say, my preacher told me. I don't care who told you, friend. I don't care a tuppenny ticket who told you. If God hasn't told you, then you better listen to what God says. It's God's heaven. And God says there's only one way to get to heaven. And Jesus says, I'm the way. Jesus Christ the way. He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. He says, your ways are not my ways. Because you see, our ideas and our thoughts and our ways of salvation are quite different from God's way of salvation. Because there's only one way of salvation. And it's not in the church. And it's not in any denomination, friend. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And we need to know the difference between God's way of salvation and man's way of salvation. Because there's a difference. And the Spirit of God tells us here what a man to be saved has got to do.
Now let's look at the verse again. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man has got to forsake his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. But to come to the Lord, friend, you've got to do what God says. This is important that you get this. Now the word there, it says, let the wicked forsake his way. The word wicked there means one guilty of crime or guilty of sin. One who is hostile to God. God says his way is a wicked way. It's an evil way. An evil course of living. But that's man's own way. It's the way of man's choosing. And he loves his way. You see, man loves his sin. That's why there are people in this meeting tonight who are not saved. Because you love your sin. It's a wicked way, but nevertheless you love it. That's your choice. It's a choice that you made. You remember there in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam, he says, Adam, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of God. God says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It's clear, it's plain, it's simple. He says, the day you eat of it, you'll die. You'll be separated from me. Now listen, up to that moment, Adam walked with God in the garden, friend. And Adam had fellowship with God in the cool of the day. But I want to tell you this. Whenever Adam sinned, he sinned and it was an act of rebellion against what he knew that God had clearly stated. It wasn't that Adam didn't know. Adam knew exactly what God says. God says, listen, the day thou eatest thereof, you'll die. And friend, there's people in this meeting, and it's not that you don't know that your sin's taken you to hell, but you love it. It's your choice. You're embracing it. You're holding on to it. And the Word of God says it is a wicked way. It is an evil way. It is a corrupt way. But it's the way that's dear to you. And what did Adam do, friend? With all that knowledge, Adam deliberately and defiantly sinned against God. And let me tell you, dear unsaved person, that's exactly what you're doing every day that you live without Christ. You're deliberately living in rebellion against God. It's not that you don't know. Yes, there are people tonight that don't know God's way of salvation. There are people in this world and they've never heard it. But there are people in this tent tonight, let me tell you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you are cradled in the gospel. Maybe you've heard preachers like this preacher for years and they've told you God's way of salvation and they exposed the sin that will take you to a Christless and lost eternity. And God has put his finger upon your sin and God says that's an evil way. But friend, that's not as you see it. You don't see it that way. You don't see it as sin. You know why? Because it's the natural way of your living. You've always lived that way. You see, the Bible says that we're born in sin and we're shaped in iniquity. Let me tell you this. Every parent in this meeting tonight knows this as a fact. You never had to teach your child to lie. You never had to teach your child to steal, no matter if it should have been a sweet or a bun or anything. You never had to teach your child to do the perverse thing. No, friend. Do you know why? Because it was their natural thing to do. And they could look into your face so innocently and say, I never did it. And they knew they did. And they were lying through their teeth. And they were lying with their mouths wide open. Why, friend? Now, I had to teach my children A, B, and C. I had to teach my children to write. I had to teach my children to spell. But I never had to teach one of them to sin. Why? Because they were born with the nature of sin. It was right in the heart. And you see, friend, that's your problem tonight if you're still unsaved tonight. It's the problem of your heart. Now listen, the doctor may not have diagnosed it, but God has. You may have gone to the doctor and the doctor said, you have a strong heart. Let me tell you, friend, You may have a strong heart, but if you have a sinful heart, you have a rotten heart. And it's not rotten to the core, friend. It's rotten from the core. From the inside out. The outward is only the manifestation of the corruption inside. And that's why the Word of God says, in the book of Jeremiah, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't imagine. You couldn't imagine the corruptness of man's heart. And friend, let me tell you, it's easy to point to the sins of others, but let me tell you, God says there's no difference for all have sinned. In other words, we all had the same rotten heart. We all started with the same wicked way. And God says, we've got to forsake it. The wicked heart. The wicked way. Now, I know that people get offended. And people say, I don't like that kind of preaching, friend. Let me, it's far better that this preacher is honest with your soul, friend, and tells you the truth before you go to hell with your sin. Would you rather that the preacher stood up in this pulpit and told you, you were lovely and you were clean and you were holy, and God knew you're rotten to the core and from it. And on that day you stand before God and the books of God are open, friend. And every sin comes out on the day of judgment to call for you, the judgment of your soul and the damnation of your soul in hell. But the preacher told me I was all right. No, friend, he didn't. This preacher didn't. Because God told me to preach the Word. And the Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sinner's way is a sinful way. Now I said that you might think that way is all right. And it may satisfy you. And you might be happy with it. But this is what the Word of God says. Proverbs chapter 14, 12. He says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Seems right. And to him it seems right. But listen to the end of the verse. There's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof. You see, it does come to the end, doesn't it? The end thereof is the way of death. Eternal death. And eternal death is eternal separation from God Almighty. D.L. Moody, one time he visited a prison, it was called the Tombs. And he was invited there to preach, and after he preached, he decided he would go around the different cells to talk to the different men in prison. And so therefore he went to the first cell and he says, well, what brought you here? The man says, well, I don't deserve to be here, Mr. Moody. You know, I was framed. And I shouldn't be here at all. He went to the next cell and he says, well, friend, well, what brought you here? Well, he says, you know, Mr. Moody, I was falsely accused. And I shouldn't be here at all. He went to the next cell. He sat down there and he said, well, friend, tell me, how did you get here? Well, he said, you know, I had an unfair trial, Mr. Moody. And he said, I went from cell to cell, and there wasn't a man in the whole prison that was there justly. They were all unjustly in jail. D.L. Moody walked into this cell, and he saw a man sitting there who had been at the meeting. His head was over, his hands were over his head, and his head was bowed low. And he cried out as Mr. Moody went in, and he said, Mr. Moody, my sins are more than I can bear. And D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, thank God for that. Thank God, for there's hope for the man who knows he's a sinner. And Moody led that man to Christ. Let me tell you, friend, if you don't know you're sick, you don't go to the doctor. The sad reality is this. There's multitudes of men and women that are going to hell tonight, and they're dancing and jigging and jiving their way there. And their way is all right. But the end thereof. Now, friend, I'm asking you in God's name tonight, do you love your soul enough to answer this simple question? If God was to stop that wee heart right now, and God was to say, thy soul shall be required of thee right now, friend, tell me, where would you be? Heaven with Christ, or hell without him? Because there's only two places. And you'll be where you're ready for. And the man that trusts Christ as a Savior, the man who forsakes his sin and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God they'll be saved, and thank God they'll be in heaven, and there's not a demon in hell can take him down to the pit. Or the devil himself. Because they'll never perish. Jesus says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Thank God, I believe that he eternally and wonderfully saves the sinner. But the man who keeps his sin, remember, the wages of sin. What does that mean, friend? The payout. You'll get your wages. At the end of the journey, you'll get your wages. And I'll tell you, the wages that God will give for your sin, friend, will be just. And the wages of sin is death. Now, God says this, that you've got to forsake your sin. Because all sin, manually divides them and say, oh, that's a wee white sin. Or that's maybe a sort of a grey sin. I want to tell you, friend, pile of rubbish. Sin's sin. It's sin. And sin dug hell. And sin damned the devil, and they'll damn you too if you hold on to it. You see, sin is heinous. God says it's evil. It's evil. It's wicked. Let the wicked forsake his way. Maybe you say, I'm all right, preacher. Well, is that right? Let's look at the other description. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the what? Unrighteous. You're not right. You're not right. God says unrighteous. And what does the word unrighteous mean? It means man of iniquity. That's the literal translation, man of iniquity. The natural thoughts of an unrighteous man is sinful thoughts. Wrong thoughts. Do you remember Naaman? Do you remember whenever he went to Elisha? And whenever he went to Elisha, Elisha sent the prophet out. And friend, whenever Elisha sent the prophet out and told him that he was going to the Jordan, it was the dirty water, and he says, are a band of far from not far cleaner than the dirty waters of the Jordan, and those who have been there know that the waters of the Jordan can't be dirty. And he was angry. And the servant said, why are you so worked up? He says, I thought that at least he would come out to me and talk to me and heal me. I thought the prophet, listen, I thought. But the word of God says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. For God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. What you think about sin, friend, is not what God thinks about sin. You know what God says? Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2, it says, your sins have separated between you and God. Your sins have separated between you and God. And I'll tell you, my friend, Adam thought that he could sin against God's law. And the Bible says, and God drove him from the garden. He was thrust out. To separate it from God. That's what sin does. And that's what your sin will do, friend. But the tragic thing about it is, that's what your sin will do for all eternity. Separate you from God Almighty. You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, there's a story of David the king. Many of you know the story, how that David sinned with Bathsheba. How that David sent Uriah, his faithful soldier, his faithful servant, and he got Uriah to go into the front of the battle because he decided to cover up his sin. He would allow Uriah to be murdered in battle. He set him up, his friend, his faithful friend, and he set him up to be killed. But you see what he thought? I can do that. I can do it. You know why? I'm king. I'm king. Nobody can tell me what it is. I'm the king of this country. I can do it. And I can do it, and I can get away with it. And let me tell you, my friend, listen, whenever Uriah was killed and put into the front of the battle, and Bathsheba brought forth her child, her son, the child was born. But you see, nobody knew it was David's child. It thought that this child, this was Uriah's child. And David was kind because after that Uriah died, David comforted Bathsheba and then he took her as his wife. And they thought he's a great king. Until one day God said to Uriah, or said to Nathan the prophet, Nathan, I want you to go to the king. And I want you to tell the king, thou art the man. What did he find out, friend? God was king. God was king. And whilst he thought he could do it because he was king, friend, let me tell you, so it is that you think that you can live your life in sin. I'm my own king. I'm the own captain of my ship. I'm the master of my own destiny. Nobody stand up. Dare a preacher to stand up in the pulpit and tell me I need to be saved and I need Jesus Christ as my Savior and I need to forsake my sin. How dare anybody tell me? I decide I'm king. Let me tell you what this book says. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. The small, nobody too small. The great, nobody too great. And I saw the small and great stand before God. Let me tell you, friend, you see that vision that John had? It was a vision of the end of the day of judgment. And here's my question. Did John see you in that throng? They called for the rocks and mountains. Hide us! Mountains, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. But there's no place to hide. You see, friend, there was a rock in which sinners can hide. Because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, and that rock was Christ. There's a hiding place. But if you do not hide your sins under the blood of Jesus, friend, and have them cleansed and have them forgiven and have them dealt with and have them pardoned, your sin will stand against you in the day of judgment. And there in that throng that John saw away back in Revelation chapter 20, John saw you. What a tragedy. Let the wicked forsake his way. You remember Jezebel?
Jezebel's husband was the king. She was the queen.
Ahab was the king. And you know, he had many great orchards and vineyards and all the rest of it. He had a great kingdom. But there was one that he hadn't got and he wanted. It was Naboth's vineyard. It was better than his. He went to Naboth and he said, Naboth, I want your vineyard. And he said, no, king, this is my father's vineyard. It was given to me. I cannot sell my father's. This is my birthright. I can't sell my birthright. And then he said, well, I'll buy it off you. He said, no, listen, it's not for sale. Do you not understand it? It's my birthright. It is what has been given to me of my father's. I cannot sell it. And so therefore he went back to the palace. And he went to bed. Jezebel looked for him. She couldn't find him. And she went up into the royal palace bedroom and she said, where are you? Where are you, Ahab? And there he was lying and he was weeping. He was pouting out over that because he hadn't got Naboth's vineyard. She says, what's wrong, Naboth? What's wrong, King Ahab? Well, it's this man, Naboth. I asked him to give me his vineyard, but he wouldn't do it. And I'd give him another in his place. I asked him to sell it to me, but he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't sell it to me, and he wouldn't give me it. She says, are you not the king? What do you mean he wouldn't give it to you? Aren't you the king? Listen, stop. Dry up your eyes, Ahab. Dry your eyes. I'll give it to you. Don't you worry. I'll give it to you. You know what she did, friend? She planned his death. She set him up. Naboth. Godly Naboth. Who wouldn't sell his heritage. And she set him up. And then she came in. She said, listen. Go down to the vineyard, Ahab. It's yours. You see, as he was going down to the vineyard, God spoke to Elijah the prophet, and God says, Elijah, go down to Naboth's vineyard and meet Ahab. And whenever the two met up, friend, Ahab knew he was found out. This is what the Word of God says, friend. You don't want to own up your sin tonight. You don't want to forsake your sin. You want to hold on to your sin. You want to cover your sin. This is what the Word of God says. Be sure your sin will find you out. Even though he was the king. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man let him forsake his thoughts. But notice, you've got to forsake it. Forsake it. You see, friend, there are those tonight that know that they're a sinner, but they don't forsake it. Repentance is not simply a turning away from sin. That's the first step. It's a turning to the Lord. You've got to turn from your sin. A change of mind. You've got to agree with God. You've got to confess your sin. Agree with God concerning your sin. And when you see the heinousness and the hellishness of your sin and what sin will do, my friend, you turn from it. Let him forsake his way and let him return unto the Lord. You've got to give up the direction you're going. If a person is simply to try to reform his life and turn away from his sin, say, listen, I'll turn over a new leaf. Let me tell you, that is a matter of self-reformation, but that's not God's salvation. I'll tell you, here's the problem. If you were to say to me, preacher, from this night onwards, I'll never sin again. If that were possible, wouldn't I be all right, preacher? No, friend. What about your past sins? What are you going to do with them? How are you going to get them dealt with if it's not the Lord?
Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. You've got to turn from your sin, man, if you're going to be saved. You've got to turn away from it, and you've got to turn to Christ as the only Savior from sin.
Many a time in my ministry, there have been men have called me, and whenever they've been faced with sickness or even death, I think of a man who called the preacher one time and said, "Preacher, I need you to come to see me." He was in hospital. When he was in hospital, he was very concerned. He was very anxious. And he said, "Preacher, the doctor was in with me today, and he told me that I haven't long to live. I've got an incurable disease." He said to a preacher, "I want you to pray to God for me. I want you to tell God that I'm sorry for what I've done. I want you to tell God that if he heals me, I'll give the rest of my life to him. And there'll never be a Sunday pass, but I'll be sitting in the house of God listening to you preaching." That preacher knelt down beside that person in the hospital, believing that the man was sincere in what he was to say. And he cried unto God. He said, "Now tell him, tell the Lord that, preacher, tell it." And there were tears running down the man's cheeks. "Tell it, tell it, tell God that now." The preacher says, "I knelt down beside his bed. I took him by the hand and I told him exactly what the man said. And at the end, the man said, amen." And God heard that prayer, friend, and that man was healed. You see, from that day to the day he died, he's never through the church door. You see, friend, it wasn't repentance. And there's many men and women when their back's against the wall and they've nowhere else to go and say, oh God, help me. And oh God, I'll do this. And God, I'll turn. And Lord, I'll trust you. And all the rest of it, friend, let me tell you, it's from the lips out. Because there's no repentance. And remember what Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You've got to turn. Let him forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. There's nobody else can save you, friend. There's no use looking to the church. There's no use looking to your rituals. There's no use looking even to the preacher. He of himself can't save you. But thank God, God has sent me as a preacher tonight to tell you, Jesus saves. And his blood washes whiter than snow. Now look very quickly. Notice whenever a man repents, notice the assured reconciliation here. It says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he that is the Lord will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now notice, friend, listen. He will have mercy upon him. Notice. The turning of the sinner to God is not meritorious. He doesn't merit salvation by his turning. But it is God that has mercy upon the sinner. God has mercy. That is reconciliation through the sovereign, free grace of God. God shows mercy. Do you remember the old publican? We preached about him this night last week. The man that looked toward heaven and he didn't look toward heaven. He bowed his head and he smote his breast with a broken heart and he cried, "God, my God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He didn't cry for what he deserved. He didn't say, "Oh God, here's my merit. Look what I've done to get to heaven." No, he says, "God, mercy
and merciful. Oh, don't give me what I do deserve, for I deserve hell. But, oh God, give me what I don't deserve. I deserve nothing but your wrath. But, God, give me your mercy. I know, as the Word of God says, He will have. He will have. He will have. Not might have. Thank God, He will have. God will have mercy upon the repentant sinner. He will abundantly pardon. What a promise tonight. I can stand in this pulpit tonight and I can say to you on the authority of the Word of God and the God of His Word, friend, that if you turn from your sin tonight, if you cast your sin upon Christ and receive Him as your Savior, if you claim the covering of the precious blood and acknowledge that you're the sinner and that He alone is the Savior, and you rest your soul upon what He did for you upon the cross of Calvary, thank God, claim the covering of His blood. He will have mercy upon you. Thank God, He will. Not might, not maybe, not perhaps. He will. He will abundantly, abundantly pardon. Forgiven. Forgiven. Tell me, do you know your sins forgiven tonight? Are you sure of that? The free gift of God. Dr. Campbell Morgan was a great preacher. Dr. Campbell Morgan was holding an evangelistic campaign just like this, and there were a number of people who came to receive Christ at the end of the meetings. But there was one man who came, and whenever some of the workers were there leading souls to Christ, one of the elders said to Dr. Morgan, he said, Dr. Morgan, there's a man who's come down to the inquiry room every night. Every night he has come to the inquiry room. And we can't get him satisfied. We can't get him any assurance of God's salvation. He said, Dr. Morton, would you come to the inquiry room tonight? He says, I sure will. He says, you get him down to the room. And he said, and sure enough, the man, when the appeal was made at the end, the man made his way to the inquiry room again. And Dr. Morgan followed in. He was a coal miner from Yorkshire. And Dr. Morgan sat there down with him in the room and opened up the scriptures. And he opened up the scriptures here in Isaiah 55, verse 7. And he read, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And he sought to explain to that man the fact that if he turned from his sin and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ in true repentance, that God would abundantly pardon. The man turned to him and he said, as he said every other night, he said, but Miss Dr. Morgan, it's too cheap. It's too simple. It's too cheap. You know, Dr. Morgan cried to God, and I know what it is to be in a situation like that. And he said, oh God, give me wisdom. How am I going to explain it to him? And then he said to him, he says, tell me, what do you do for a living, friend? He says, I'm a coal miner. Well, he says, tell me, have you been at work today? He says, yes, I've been at work today. And he says, where do you work? He says, 800 yards underneath the earth. Dr. Morgan, that's where I work. Well, he says, how did you get home from your work? He says, I walked it. He says, you walked it from where? He says, I walked it from the coal mine. But he said, I want to ask you a question, sir. How did you get to the surface? You said you were 800 yards beneath the surface. How did you get to the surface? Oh, he said, Dr. Morton, he says, I came over the shaft, over to the shaft, and I got into the cage. And the cage brought me to ground level. And then I walked out of the cage, and I walked home. Dr. Morton said, friend, just another question. How much did it cost you to go up in the shaft? Oh, no, he said, Mr. Morgan, you don't understand. It didn't cost me anything. He said, it cost the company for the shaft. and I came free. That's right, said Morgan. Salvation is the gift of God. It's the free gift of God. But it cost God a son. You were willing to take the free lift and the shaft that cost the company. And through it you got home. Will you take the free gift of God of salvation that cost God a son to go home to heaven? And the man cried out, Dr. Morton, I see it. I see it. God's gift is free. But God's son paid the price for me. And friend, that's what you got to do to be saved. It's not of works that you do. It's not of works that any man can do. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And God's forgiveness and God's pardon, it comes from an infinite fountain of God's amazing grace. Come ye to the waters. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And God will have mercy upon you. And God will abundantly pardon you. But then it says, seek him while he may be found. It says, call upon him while he's near. You know why, friend? Because the door of grace, the door of mercy is not always open. Do you remember the virgins, the five virgins? And they came to the door. But the door was shut. Do you remember in Noah's day? And God shut to the door of the ark, and God shut Noah in, but everyone else were shut out. They wouldn't come in. They laughed at God's plan. You see, they had another plan. They thought there wasn't going to be a flood, because it never happened before. God says, I'm going to send it. And you know what God said? He says, Noah, tell them, yet 7 days, just 7 days to go. And Noah went out and he cried to the people. He says, God is going to send the flood in 7 days. And they laughed at the fool. And then God says, Noah, come on in, Noah. And Noah walked in. And as Noah walked in, his footstep went over the door. God shut to the door. And friends, let me tell you, when the door was shut, man couldn't open it. Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Surely I have plenty of time, preacher. Surely I've got youth on my side. Oh yes, I'll wait until it's about midnight and it's about to strike the last minute at midnight. Sure as God will forgive me, and God let me in.
Midnight came and the door was shut, friend. And it was shut for good. And the people came and they cried and they knocked on the door and said, Noah, open unto us. But let me tell you, Noah couldn't open the door because Noah didn't shut it. God did. And God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Don't play around with eternal things, friend. You've heard the gospel before.
And God's given you an opportunity to hear it tonight again. But you've got to come while the Spirit of God is speaking. And there's a tug of God on your soul tonight, and you realize, yeah, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior, friends. Let me tell you, that's the Spirit of God. But come while the Spirit of God's pleading. And steer for the harbor light, for how do you know but your soul may be drifting over that dead line tonight? For God doesn't always call. He says, God says, I called. He refused. There'll come a day you'll call. And God says, Proverbs 1. I'll not answer. I'll not answer. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, while your heart's still tender. While there's still the day of grace, the day of opportunity, the day of mercy. Friends, seek him. Seek him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word tonight. Thou knowest everyone that's gathered here. Thou knowest where they stand with thee. Maybe there's someone tonight and they've wandered away. They need to return. They need to get back. They're backslidden in heart. They know they're not right. Oh God, bring the prodigal home. Bring the wanderer home. You love them still. For the dear sinner in the highway of sin, oh my God, my God. My God in wrath, please remember mercy. Remember mercy tonight. And don't let them go away without you. Save them now. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend. The meeting will be over in a moment. And I ask you a simple question. I asked you it already. If God was to stop that little ticker inside your breast tonight, and he can, at any minute, for it's in the hand of God, where would you be? One by one, our seats are emptied. And one by one, we've got to go away. Here, the circle has been broken. Tell me, will it be complete one day? Will the family be united in heaven, friend? Or when the roll is called up yonder, will you be missing? Lost in hell. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And if there's one in this meeting tonight, sinner or backslider, you say, preacher, I need to get right with God. So you do, friend. Don't fool yourself. You do. Be honest with your soul tonight. Don't be the coward. Face up to where you stand tonight. Because one day you'll stand before the face of God. Will you come to him? You say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. Maybe you're backslidden. You say, I'd love to be restored. Friend, listen as we sing this little verse of the hymn. The meeting will be over in a moment. If there's a man, a woman, a person in this meeting, you say, preacher, lead me to Jesus Christ. Friend, listen, we'll not embarrass you in this place. We'll go to a little private room there just at the side of the tent. There's a little inquiry room in privacy. But we need to know that you mean business with God. We need to know that you want to be saved. And if there's one on this meeting that you say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to be restored. As we sing this little verse, friend, and we're singing it for you, just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it.
indicate that desire. I want to be saved. I want to be restored. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. There's the one tonight in this meeting, you say, preacher, I know I'm a sinner. Would you lead me to Christ? I know I'm a backslider. Would you lead me back to the Lord, friend? As every head is bowed and eyes are closed, would you lift that hand toward heaven, just signal to heaven? O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I'm here to help you. I beg you in God's name, don't go away without the Lord, friend. I'll be down there at the door. Please speak to me. We'll gladly go and show you from God's word how you can really, really know and be sure that you're ready for heaven. That you're born of God. But don't miss the Lord. Heavenly Father, the work is the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't draw a man and woman to you. The work's thine. I pray, Lord, that you'll so convict the sinner that this night, before they'll ever lay their head upon the pillow, that they'll cry out to thee, that they'll seek the Lord, call, that word, cry out on the Lord for pardon. Lord, save them. And do it now, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friend, don't go away without the Lord. I beg you. Come and speak to us. We'll gladly open the Word of God and show you from God's Word how you can be sure, sure that you're born of God. Don't go away. May the Lord bless you. Amen.